All right, so just to premise today's conversation, Justin and I have grown a very strong interest in running. Justin's been probably doing it for about 2 years and has become sort of a mega athlete at it. And I am quite literally the strongest word for novice, but hopefully we can learn something.
Cool.
So when did you start running?
I started running about, it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I was taking a bunch of clients in to do a Spartan race. And they were all like, hey, I don't even know how to run. And that made me kind of hesitate and say, well, neither do I.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had done a couple of 5Ks at the time, and a 5K is easy enough to just muscle through it. So I said, well, okay, if I'm going to teach people how to run, I should probably figure it out. And besides knowing, you know, I had read Born to Run and all of that by then, so I was kind of like, okay. I
just hadn't put it into practice.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, everything in that book makes sense, because that book made me initially start wearing, you know, flat shoes, and you'll remember the Iron Man days when I
had my
Vibrams.
Yeah.
That was, like, right after reading
Born to Run. Well, you got me to go barefoot, like, all the time.
So all Born to Run. All I picked up out of that book in 2009 was don't wear shoes anymore and not anything about running. And so I was like, okay, I need to figure out how to land on my midfoot. I know that I heel strike. I know that when I don't heel
Everyone
strike.
Everyone heel strikes?
It hurts my calves like crazy. Yeah. And then, okay, my ankles don't move. And that just kind of was like, okay, if I'm going to be an athletic human, I should be able to run.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I got into it too, because I was just like going from powerlifting, obviously started lifting all the time, heavy all the time. And I was just like, I'm not functional. Like, if you can't walk up 3 steps of stairs, granted I could also deadlift like 550, but I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without being like, so I was like, this is not how a human being should be.
Yeah. So that was kind of my initial taste into it. But it never really caught on. I did that Spartan race with the clients. I was kind of like, okay.
How long was the Spartan race? What was the?
Short. It was like one of those. Fenway. Like you barely even.
Oh, you did that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know you did that.
Yeah, this was 2014. So three.
How'd you like that? Because you like go all the way through the stadium.
I mean, it was not super challenging.
Well, it's not like running intensive, I hear.
It's very workout. Like there's slam balls and you carry jugs of water and sandbags. It's like a 30-minute cardio workout,
yeah.
Basically. But you know, that was kind of like, okay, I'm done with this. And fast forward a couple of years later, there were some clients here that wanted to start doing some longer distances, people that were runners forever and they were sick of getting hurt and not having fast times and not being able to fit all of their training in within a week. So it started out as, okay, hey, I'll run this 10K with you, but you have to let me tinker with your training plan a little bit. And that led to me tinkering with a training plan. I was like, all right, 10K is cool.
And also, explain like what your clientele that you're working with is.
So I work with people, mostly women over 50. People that are beat up and hurt and tired all the time and looking to become stronger and more resilient. And so I ran a race with this woman, and it went well, and she felt good. So then we decided to do a 25K, which was kind of like
why not
a real test.
Over double it?
Yeah, well, because we were thinking half marathon. I was trying to push her to do a marathon because I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I might as well like go for it and see if some of these ideas that I have about it will work. But I couldn't get her to do a marathon, and I had not done any trail running at the time. But I thought that trail sounded more fun than on the road.
A lot more fun.
So it was, you know, we had a few months to train for this 25K race. And I got kind of hooked training for that.
Is that when you switched to starting to run on trails more?
No.
Or were you still running on the road?
No, I was mostly running on the road at that point. Because I had this like really nice like bike path right near my house, and I did all my training on that. So I did all of my training for this trail race on like flat, smooth ground, which was not a great idea.
No.
But, you know, I survived the race. She survived the race. It was fun. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And
what were some common hiccups that you ran into?
Mostly, I didn't run on anything technical. So I was like I said, I was on flat pavement. And I just thought that I had a lot more gas than I did, because going up and down big hills, and this wasn't a technical race at all. It's basically a dirt road almost. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not as fit as I thought I was. And then a few months later, me and the same woman did a half marathon, and I was like, all right, time to go fast. Let's see if I can do this pretty fast. And I ran the half marathon okay, and that was like my first one. So I did a 10K, a 25K, and then a half marathon. And then I kind of took the next couple months off to figure out what I wanted to do with training and running. And, you know, owning a gym, it becomes very difficult to find motivation to work out, especially being in the same spot all day, to then be like, okay, I'm going to work out now and do all of these things that I've been telling people to do all day. It's boring. Yeah. And so...
And you're here. I mean, you're training people, what, 10 hours a day?
Exactly.
So you're going to spend another two in the same spot?
Exactly. So kind of over the winter, I'm trying to figure out. I really enjoyed the running. I felt good doing it. I got to a point where, it didn't suck really bad. I liked the, meditative aspect of it, of, when I started out, I would listen to, a podcast or a book, and...
Well, we talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
I'm still listening to podcasts and audiobooks, a book that you couldn't even start with the graveyard book. But you said that you switched to just no music, no nothing.
Yeah, and that was a huge turning point for me, because it became this thing that I could... One, practice focusing on something. So, because that's, what do you do while you're running? I think about running. Or you can kind of zone out and think about other stuff.
What do you normally do?
Try to think about what I'm doing. Am I breathing? What's my pace like? Left foot, right, think about running. And what I talk to people a lot is, you need to be able to handle that mundane boringness of it to do well. You can't think about what you're going to have for dinner. You can't think about, what's going on at work, anything that's stressed you. You can't think about that. You have to shut that all out. And ultimately, that's what got me into really start appreciating the trails, is because, on the road, if you days off, nothing happens. But if you're on a trail...
I've fallen more than once. Kind of,
you're
going to
face plant pretty hard.
Yeah.
And so it becomes this, instant flow state thing, right? Of okay, I'm doing this right now. I need to focus on it.
Yeah.
And so once I was able to get to a point where I was performing decently, to have that kind of motivator of, okay, I'm doing well now, this is more fun, I can focus on it a little bit more, I ditched the headphones, and that's kind of when I really got into it.
Now, is it easier, with meditation and stuff, you're obviously supposed to, actual meditation, you're supposed to just kind of stay in that moment, but you're not doing anything. Is it easier with running to kind of...
Well, you're focusing on your breath, which is something that you can do while you're running, right? Of just I'm just breathing in and out. And so there's that aspect of it. There's the then staying, right? I would say that's kind of almost the meditative part of it, but then there's the mindfulness part of it of okay, just focus on the task that I'm doing right now. Okay, I got to climb up this hill now. Okay, where's the downhill? Did I take the right, if you're just kind of freewheeling through Stratton Hill Park, did I take the right turn or not? How many miles do I have left? How long is it going to take me to finish if I'm running at this pace? And that is what allows you to do well at it, because you're staying focused through it the whole time. So I think that's what really kind of made me catch the bug, and that was over the winter. That was this year. That was 2017. That was January 2017.
That was this winter?
Yeah, where I really started kind of okay, I did the 25K. I want to continue doing this. What can I do? And so I was okay, I have to continue running over the winter. I didn't know what I was going to do Actually, that's not true. So it was December 2016.
Don't be lying to me now.
No, because, yeah, so it was December 2016 because it was on my birthday that I registered for a 50K. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, like, go for it. Like,
again, doubling it.
Yeah, and you know, a marathon just wasn't appealing to me because everybody does a marathon. Right? It's become this, like, thing that, like, everybody does now.
Yeah.
And, like, so I wasn't interested in getting, like, a super long marathon time. I still haven't run one, and if I do run one, I'm going to...
What was that big one that you just did?
That was a half marathon.
The invite-only one?
No, that was a 50K as well.
Oh, okay.
So I signed up for this 50K, and that was kind of my, like, I signed up for it in December because I was like, okay, don't lose all of this running ability you have right
now.
When
was the 50K?
May. So I had 6 months. Okay. And so I trained very rigorously for it. Lots of lifting, lots of intervals.
Now, what do you do? I kind of want to jump off there. What do you do for your lifting? Because I'm having a tough time figuring out what's the best.
Well, the hardest part for me was realizing that I'm going to get weaker and being okay with that. And so, you know, I say that I lift heavy, but it's not heavy compared to what I used to lift.
Yeah, well, you were also deadlifting, what, like 515 at your most?
But, I mean, that was a long time ago. But, like, you know, going from, like, one of my rules I always had was, like, okay, if there's a bar that has 405 on it, I should be able to pick it up. I'm like,
can you still do that?
I don't know. I haven't tried in 2 years.
Maybe after this we should set it up.
Maybe. I'm done. I got over 3 for the first time last week.
Well, I saw that video.
It
looked good. Like, you looked very good. Core stay engaged.
But it's expensive for me now. You know, like, it's taxing.
Yeah.
And that day wasn't, because that was, like, planned out and everything went smoothly with that heavy day. But that was my first heavy day since April. So before I ran this race.
Yeah.
And when I mean heavy day, I mean, like, that was like, okay, all I'm going to do today is deadlift. I'm going to time my rest periods. And so that is what became different. So, like, a heavy squat workout might be at 205 instead of 275. And so, you know, initially that was frustrating, but I just, okay, I have to give something up to improve my aerobic fitness.
Yeah.
And so basically my lifts were like, I would lift heavy twice a week, a lower body thing and an upper body thing. And there was usually like some sort of circuity Metcon style thing afterwards. Maybe some accessory work, like some single leg stuff. And then I would do that for sure twice a week. And then my third day was usually like I like Olympic weightlifting. So it was more of like a, not going super heavy, but more of like a skill practice day. And I'd do some Olympic lifting.
Just to have some fun.
Yeah. And every now and then I'd be like, okay, let's go. And I would do some heavy clean and jerks or, you know, work up to a couple heavy snatches. But then as I got kind of more towards the race season, that would become like a running workout, like very CrossFit, right? Like, I'm going to do 10 hang power cleans, run 800 meters, do 10 push-ups. And
it wasn't just you doing that. Kind of turned into, there were so many people in here also doing that type of stuff. You had me doing that last summer.
Well, it really made me appreciate this like aerobic-based thing, right? And being able to go have this like good like output for a sustained period of time, because I thought I was fit for a long time and I was not.
Yeah, and that goes to like the functional human thing of like, we're not like everyone in here, you said they're 50 plus, usually women, and it's just, we're not always gonna just be lifting something. It's like we're moving around, we're doing this. So like running 800 meters and then deadlifting or something like that is more functional than just even separating the two.
Well, and having that aerobic component too, right? So I can say, yeah, like, hey, I didn't lift anything heavy, but I would make stuff heavy. Meaning, okay, I'm going to back squat 8s today. You know, maybe an 8 rep max is 250, but I can put 185 on the bar and do that 8 times and do a 30-second airdyne sprint And that 185 feels heavy after that.
Yeah.
And so I started incorporating things like that, like making my strength work hard by making myself out of breath and tying in that aerobic component to it. And what worked out great of that is, as you saw my deadlift video from the other week, is I didn't lose much strength. Everything was, like I like to call it, within striking distance. So, you know, could I take 2 weeks and hit some heavy stuff and get back to within striking distance of where I was? And that really showed, because I was recovering faster. I would need less rest time between sets. I started training more, because I just felt like I wanted to train more.
Yeah.
And I was less sluggish and not beat up as much. So it was just really great.
And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot, because I've changed up what I'm doing for training, like, almost completely. Like, I'm only doing kettlebell workouts for this month. But completely changing something. You said you were only lifting 2 heavy days a week and then that one kind of skilled technical day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's only 3 training sessions for someone who's a very well-trained individual. Did you, like, consciously be like, because I'm running a lot more, I have to... A, not only sacrifice weight, but sacrifice training and train for what I'm focusing on?
Yes, and that's why I say it was only 2-3 days a week, because most of the time it was usually 2, and because I was running at least 3, but, you know, around race time, probably 4 days a week. So it was this big kind of transition to be like, okay, it's okay if you don't touch a barbell this week.
It's tough.
Nothing bad is going to happen
because of
it. Yeah. And
even you, the other day, you're like, oh, am I looking skinny? And I'm like, yeah, skinnier, but you're, dude, if you can go run a 50K up a mountain, I mean,
I've got a savage human being. So I lost 25 pounds in 2017, I've lost 25
And folks,
pounds.
It's incredibly noticeable.
It's not that noticeable, but a lot of, like, I'm getting a lot of shit about it.
I don't know why. Like, you look good.
Well, because people are just like, what the hell's happened? Like, what happened to your face? Or all of my clothes are too big. And it wasn't anything intentional, but by developing this aerobic base, and like I said, I lose some muscle mass? Yes, my thighs aren't as big, but like I said, I'm you know, 90% as strong as I was before, which is
you're within striking distance.
Yeah, it's strong enough for me. And I feel a lot better. So I'm excited about it. I like it.
Now, one question that I wanted to ask, only because I never started out running on the road, I immediately saw you and was like, going in the woods. I love the woods. It will be more fun, more entertaining, more mindful, like you said. Did you notice a difference with, like, a lot of people have, like, knee, hip, ankle issues. Did you notice a difference from how those 3 felt on the road compared to on the trail? Like, was one better or worse?
Well, I think, yes and no. And by the time I transitioned into doing mostly trail stuff, I was technically a pretty good runner. Like, you know, I figured out the foot strike thing. I'm pulling, and I felt smooth, and I had a good rhythm. So I didn't notice anything that way. But the fact of the matter
pulling,
is...
Pulling. Sorry. Explain pulling.
So instead of thinking about, like, when you heel strike, you're reaching your foot out in front of you, and you're trying to push off of your back foot. When you're landing on your midfoot, you're trying to pull that foot off the ground with your hamstrings. And the reason you're pulling that off is because you're moving forward by leaning, not by pushing. And so what I mean by pulling is, like, oh, I feel like, you know, almost like your legs look like a wheel, and they're turning over very, very quickly, and you're using your hamstrings to pull that. And you know, that's why initially a lot of people, I think, feel it all in their calves, because their heel never touches the ground, right? They keep the heel off the ground and push. And you do that over 3 to 5 miles, you're not going to walk for a couple of days. And I did that plenty of times.
I'm in that right now.
But, well, the fact of the matter is, and you're probably realizing this, and there's some flat spots at Chatham Hill Park, but, like, you can't run up a hill heel striking.
Impossible.
You can't run on anything technical around roots or rocks heel striking. And so I think the trail...
Especially with the shoes that we use.
Yeah.
Because those, you still use the trail gloves, right?
Well, I actually got a pair of, when I started doing more mountain stuff, I got a little bit more of a rugged shoe, which was an absolute game changer.
Did you get that, like, fat tire thing?
No, nothing that crazy. But they're Innovates that have a, so I didn't know about this. So the, I ran this 50, well, so I think what would be interesting, so I didn't know people ran in the mountains around here. I didn't even know that was a thing. And I've always been like, I want to go up to the mountains more. I want to start hiking. But, like, hiking was always so boring because you're just slogging along, not covering much ground.
And usually just, like, bitching the entire time.
Yeah. And
or
so,
the people you with are.
So one night, this guy came in here. We do this beer night. And he is a mountain runner in New Hampshire. And it was like, I was like, oh, so people actually do run that. And so, like, as you know, it's everything is big rocks and boulders and everything up there. So I did this race wearing those Merrell trail gloves, and I survived. But this kid who told me that he used to wear those shoes until he realized how much of a crutch they were in the rocks, had this pair of Innovates. And so now I run, if I'm in the mountains, in the Innovates, but that's like Stratton Hill Park and stuff, yeah, in the Merrells. But the Innovates are, they're 4 millimeter drop, they got some rugged tread on them, and they have this, what's called a rock plate. So it's just basically this hard plastic right in the middle of the bottom of your foot. So when you step on these jagged rocks, you don't want to scream every time. And because this kid was amazing. Like, we were coming down Mount Madison, Osgood Trail, and it's just down, big, huge, loose rocks. And he's just floating over them. And I'm like, wow.
What is going on?
Like, how is he doing that?
Yeah.
And afterwards, he was like, it's all the shoes. And I
dragged. Are they, though, now that you're using them?
Oh, yeah.
Huge
absolutely.
Difference?
Like, absolutely. So now I try not to rely on them. But if I'm going on something that's rocky, I'll wear those shoes for sure. Like I said, I was hesitant to use them, and then I went on one of my first long runs after that race. It was a 20-mile one through what's called the Carter Mariah Range and the Wildcat Range. It's very rocky there, and I felt so good. And my feet, I got to the point where my feet never hurt anyway. But these shoes just made such a difference. Game changer.
Yeah, because I thought, because really the only, I've done two, and I mean, I did Agamanicus all the time, but that one, the Piper Trail at Chikora.
Chikorua.
Chikorua, is that actually how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in my mind, it's Chikora.
I said Chikora for a while, but people that know
like
more than
there,
me told me it's
Chikorua. All right, well, I guess I'll have to change. But anyway, I did that Piper Trail. And I noticed that I was just like, you feel really good. And on like those big, like the trail isn't even dirt sometimes, it's just like a huge buried boulder.
Yeah.
But I noticed on like some of them, it's really choppy rocks, and it hit like, awkward, like right in the arch of your foot. And you're like, damn. It
hurts so bad.
Yeah. So like the trail gloves are great kind of like intermediate.
Yeah.
Maybe. But you can't, like, coming back to my initial point is like, in a bigger soled shoe, it doesn't hurt as bad because you have that cushion when you heel strike.
Yep.
And it's just, with these, even if like we're in a flat part of a trail or something like that, it's like, it kind of hurt. Like you feel it on the heel.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can't run on your heels in a pair of Merrell. Like those things have nothing to them.
No, absolutely
they're
nothing.
They're great shoes. I still wear them. They're like my everyday shoes now.
Yeah.
I wear
same.
All the time.
Well, they have like, I've never had a shoe with like any sort of arch support, probably because during the Ironman days, you're like, dude, get yourself in some flat pair of shoes. So I've been wearing Chucks nonstop. But yeah, I started wearing those and just walking around. And like, honestly, my walk, like even just walking around, my gait's improved. It's like I feel myself kind of go through the actual foot motion of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So I like them a lot.
Yeah. And so, you know, what it comes down to is if you want to try to run downhill like that on a trail, you're not heel striking.
No.
Right. And you got to land well, you got to absorb it in your hips, you can't put a ton of pressure on your knees. And so while it's much more difficult than road running, I think in terms of technique for people,
it's the way to go. Because
would you say even for like a beginner, you're just like, hey, why don't you hit like a small hill or something like that?
For sure.
Really?
Because I see it with Hannah. Like, she does this weird like shuffle thing when she's running on flat ground, and we'll go over to Stratton Hill Park, and she's like going downhill like perfectly. I'm like, what's going on here? This is weird. But it's because she knows that if she digs her heel in, you're going to dig it in and slide.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, try to slow down, you're going to land on your heels.
You have to, yeah.
You know, if you want to try to be smooth going down, you're landing on your midfoot no matter what. And there's that cushiness factor, too. Like, it's not pow, pow, pow. I think that gets thrown around too much of like, oh, pavement's bad for your knees because it's hard. Maybe the way your foot is landing on the pavement isn't good for your knees.
Yeah, you have a natural cushion with your ankle.
So I think that's a cop-out a lot of times for runners or people that want to start running. Of like, oh, I can't handle the pounding. It's like, well, it is less severe on a trail, but it's something that you have to figure out. It's a mechanics issue no matter what. It's not a, okay, let me run on something springy forever.
Yeah.
No, you should be able to run on anything.
Now, where should they go for mechanics, someone who wants to kind of start out? You?
I don't know, not me. It's very difficult to teach somebody how to run.
When you did like the run club and you had that kind of mini alternative dynamic warm-up, like where did you get that from?
That's a lot of like power, speed, endurance, Brian McKenzie stuff. And also, like Kelly Strett wrote this book, Ready to Run, which is great, which is one of the things that around that Spartan race, I was kind of like, oh, maybe I should be able to run. I'm a human. And so those are all, you know, it's very simple drills to land on the ball of your foot, be a little bit more springier off the ground, properly load your hips, be more aware of your core position so you're not overarching your lower back.
I have a big issue with that.
Sloppy shoulders. And you know, it's all just awareness and practice doing it. And, you know, that's where you and I were talking before we started recording that I ran very low mileage to train for some of these races. But, excuse me, one of the ways I got a lot of miles in was practicing. Like, my warm-up would be 20 minutes of doing running drills.
Yeah. Well, you said earlier you would do, like, 2 or 4 mile interval. What was your interval?
It would depend. Like, I would do a short day, which was, depending on where it was in the cycle, something like 400 meters or like a minute. Right. Like I experimented a lot with doing time-based things once I switched over to mostly trails, because a 400 on a trail is a lot different than a 400 on a track.
Yeah. And it's kind of tough to track. Well, you have that watch, but it's kind of tough to track for the.
Yeah, so for the most part, it's time intervals. But, like, you know, it would be something like 400 meters or run for a minute, walk for a minute, or, you know, maybe even like 3 or 4 minutes and kind of with an equal rest. And then a longer interval day, like 800 meters to 1,000 meters, so half mile or 1K. And, you know, once again, depending on what I was training for, that would be very hilly and technical, or it would be smooth and fast. And
yeah, if you're on flat, like, what was your kind of mile per minute time that you were kind of gunning for? Or were you just literally hitting time and you're like, good?
It's hard to for a trail race, it's hard to know what your pace is going to be. For the whole thing. So I kind of had this like range, like, okay, if I'm at Stratton Hill Park, I should be able to run sub 8:30, no problem. And so I would look at my average pace over a run a lot. Or like, okay, what am I holding during this 400? Like, am I holding during a 400, maybe I should be able to hold a 5:30 pace, right? Because it's a quarter mile. So a lot of it's like, okay, what was my average for the day? Like, if I'm in the mountains, like, I try to keep it under 20 minutes per mile, right? And that's, like, with a lot of vert and
stuff, too. Yeah, that's very strenuous.
And so that was always kind of, like, my baseline. Like, okay, well, did I keep it under 20? Or if it was super long, did I keep it under 30? If it was not as long, like, okay, did I keep it under 15? So I kind of have these, like, markers, and they're all just from me doing it.
Just experience, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that 50K race in the mountains the if it was going to take you 16 hours to finish, you had to run it at a 30 minute per mile pace. And that was a 15. That was a 31 mile race with 15,000 feet of vertical.
That is insane.
So I didn't do the. I did the fun run, which is 27 miles. Fun. But I maintain a 28 minute pace. So I'm like, okay, I made the right choice, because if I did the whole thing, I would not have
done the 16 hours.
Yeah, and I'm like, the longest I had been out before that was 8 hours. So I was like, okay. I'm not ready to handle a 17-hour thing, and that was just from knowing my pace.
Now, like maybe 2 weeks ago, you're just like, yeah, I saw some of those guys, and I ain't nothing compared to them. But it's just, how did you personally feel doing that? If you had only been out for 8 hours, and then you go, whatever you just, what were you out for, like 15?
13.
13. How did you feel with an extra 5 on top of that?
Felt no fine. Problem. Yeah, and because that was a lot of that race ended up being a lot of hiking, very technical stuff, big boulders. It was in the Northern Presidential, so Madison, Adams, Jefferson, like it was on some rugged stuff.
Yeah.
So since a lot of it was hiking and not a ton of running, like I felt okay. Like mentally, it wasn't that draining because it was all so new and like just like. Wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is kind of crazy. Don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
So it was very – because before the 8 hours, the longest I had been was 3. And that was – so that eight – the first 50K I did – so I didn't do the original one in May. I had this, like, freak back tweak.
Yeah.
The 2 days before the race.
Yep.
And so I was like, all right, I'm not running anymore. And I took, like, a week off. And then – during that time period is when I talked to this guy that runs up north. So I was like, all right, I got to go see what this is about. And I ran, and my back held up, and I had a blast. So I was like, and the race, the 50K that I was going to do wasn't very mountainous. It was that, like, dirt road 50K, basically.
Yeah.
Like, yep. 25K. It's two loops of the 25K course, which is also boring.
Yeah.
So I was all in all happy that I had to bail on that race, and I found another one that was a mountain 50K. Super technical, very long, and I'm like, you know, my mom's going to watch it. How long is it going to take you to finish? And I'm like, I have absolutely no idea. Like, I couldn't even ballpark my guess. And so that ended up being an 8 hour and 20 minute race. And the longest I had done.
What training, was the vert on that?
Like, not much, like 5,000.
Still, and in eight hours, like, that's pretty good.
No, it had a lot of it, but it wasn't a super not big 15 mountain. Yeah, exactly. And so that was kind of like when I was like, oh, whoa, this is like, I get a lot of room. That technical stuff was really, really fun, but damn, that was hard. And that's when I was like, all right, I'm all in on this mountain stuff and just trying to get better at it. So I'm thinking about doing that race again this year to see
what you can get it in.
Yeah, because I believe we'll do the same course. So I think that would be really interesting, because the fact of the matter is that I just was not ready for that when I did it, and I suffered big time. Really? I ended up walking 5 miles in the middle of it, just because I had mistimed an aid station. So I was out of water, and I started cramping, and like I was just walking through these cramps, like trying to like will through it.
Oh, that's brutal.
It was like a very like just painful thing, but so much fun and so rewarding when I finished.
I would imagine. Well, even when you go through something like that, especially for 5 miles, I mean, you're talking about whatever, like 6% of the race or a sixth of the race.
Oh yeah, and I mean, those 5 miles were like 2 hours.
Yeah,
I mean, I was like
getting through and crossing that finish line, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And that was just, you know, not real. Like, the longest I ran.
Well, that's the experience thing again.
Exactly.
Well, that was your first 50K.
Yeah.
The longest you did was the 25. Like, it's totally different animal.
Totally different. So, I'm going to do another ultra this year or next year. I'll probably do a couple of them. But I'm thinking about doing something a little bit longer. Or thinking about trying to get better at the 50 first, 50K first. And so
You're thinking I'm Moab 240?
No way. No way. That's crazy. But there was a guy, so I was at that seminar last week, and there was a couple guys there that did the Bigfoot 200 the year before, which is nuts.
Insane. I just can't believe the what did the winner do it in? I can't even remember her name.
Courtney DeWalter.
And she did 58 hours. That is insane. She had a single minute of sleep, I believe.
21 minutes. She took a 20-minute nap and then had a one-minute nap that she recalled was the best minute of sleep in her entire life. But, yeah, that's insane. That's too far. I can't even imagine.
That's just like that's like psychopathic running level.
I'm for sure going to try to do 100. Like, I'm already trying
you can do that in a day.
Wrap that around my head. But
when are you thinking for that?
I don't know. Maybe next summer. Maybe this. Probably the summer after. Like, I gotta get maybe like.
I mean, you've been doubling it each year.
But then that would be 100K then, not 100 miles.
Oh, 100K. Yeah, okay. That's
or
right,
like
that's right.
What I'm like. Maybe I could do a 50. But if you do a 50, it's like, why don't you just do 100?
Oh yeah, why not? I guess at that point, I mean, what's the real difference? I mean, it's
50 miles.
It's yeah, but it's gonna suck. So why not embrace more suck?
Yeah. So I don't know. It's I'm still reluctant to call myself a runner because I don't think I got
you're
there.
You're there. No, you're there.
How most people got there. But yeah, I guess I'm a full on runner now.
No, you are for sure.
I really enjoy it. It's quite a bit of fun, and you know, it's nice about living around. Like you're kind of really ramping up your running now, which is cool.
Yeah.
I'm doing the exact opposite. I'm kind of like, okay, hey, it's getting a little colder. I was, you know, locked down, dialed in training all summer and most of the fall too. So it's like, okay, hey, it's nice to not have to run now.
Yeah.
And I think that for runners, that's something that they don't think about enough, right? Runners try to run all year long and they get hurt. And so like, I'm kind of like, okay, November, December, I'm not going to run very much.
Well, especially for, I mean, you go up north. In the mountain, like, you can't really do that.
No,
December, that's January, February time.
I mean, there's already snow up there. You can't do it in November. Yeah. Yeah, so I got one more pretty big epic mountain run in October. I did the Bonds.
Right. Yeah. And, we talked about that.
That was a 24-mile one. And it was, like, kind of, like, the perfect, like, the following weekend.
A good send-off.
It was a good send-off. The following weekend, I ran a half marathon with a couple clients from Gain. And so it's kind of like,
oh, really? Right. Who went?
Quinn and Catherine.
Oh, right. Quinn's looking good.
Running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And Catherine,
Cass. Spar.
Yeah, right. Yep. Oh, nice. Half marathon. I can't believe that. Good for them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they trained hard and.
Now, what do you, give them in terms of, cause I haven't seen any of their programs in a while. So like, what is.
Exactly what I was doing. But, you know, scaled to them. So they would do a...
Like the 800-meter splits and that type of stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, in a nutshell, it was a squat-based workout on Monday with some accessory work and a little finisher. Tuesday would be short intervals, so 400s, something like that. And we'd, you know, manipulate the rest as the weeks went on and the volume. Wednesday was a mostly upper body lift. Once again, with a little bit of a kind of 10-minute finisher. Thursday, long intervals, 800s, 1Ks, you know, 5 minutes on, 2 minutes off kind of thing. And then their third day was optional, which was like a deadlift slash running paced workout. It might be like run 200 meters, 10 deadlifts, 10 push-ups, 5 box jumps, go till you don't feel like it anymore. And then
the
Saturday they got a long run.
What's like a long run for them?
You know, they did a lot of 10Ks training for the half marathon. Like, you know, what I equated it to them for was like, hey, if you can run a really fast 10K, like good intensity, you're going to have no problem with a half marathon. And so, you know, they each got a 10-mile run in maybe 3 weeks before the race. But for the most part, it was all around kind of 5-6 miles.
Gotcha. So pretty short.
Yeah, very low
relatively
volume.
Speaking.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's time for you. Cool. We just killed a half hour.
I could talk about this all day, Nate.
No, we're going to have to talk. I thought that we would get everything out in a half hour. I think we're going to have to talk about this again, for sure.
I'm in.
You're too. We really haven't talked about it all that much. And now that I'm getting into it more, like, I have a lot of questions, for sure.
Let's do it again.
I love it. And especially this time of year, doing the shirtless, you got to do the shirtless run, dude.
I can't get myself to do it.
I did. What was the coldest one I did? I did, I think it was 27 degrees. But it's great. You talk about the nasal breathing all the time, only through the nose. You want to talk about like building core temp and getting used to it. I look like a psychopath. The amount of people that I pass, for whatever reason, everyone's like, well, let's go on a walk the day that Nate looks like an asshole.
But yeah, I'll have to give it a shot.
We'll do it at Stratum Hill Park. You can help me set a pace, get better at running. I'll help you. With the
maybe I might go short. Maybe I'll go short sleeves if it's a real cold day. But that might be my line.
All right, Justin. Well, this was great talk. We're definitely gonna have to talk about it again.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, brother.